Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi everyone. Hi Shan.
Hello Annie. Hello listeners. Hi Mum. We are back in these four walls.
Okay Shan, can you tell me what you're wearing today please?
I'm wearing the Rihanna Puma Creepers, which were very hard to get. Got them.
Nice.
Would you say these are a kick flare? Is that the right terminology?
Like a cropped kick flare, yeah.
Close. I'm wearing cropped kick flare jeans. That's a tongue twister, isn't it? I've got on this weird paisley shirt thing that I got from a charity shop, and it's a bit chilly in this ASOS studio, so I've found a jumper that was hanging on a rack.
You've borrowed a jumper.
I would describe this colour as, I don't know, it's quite Yeezy, isn't it?
A dusty purple.
There's a reason you do the fashion segment of this podcast.
Yeah, there is a reason. Well, do you actually own any boys' clothes is what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. I've got quite a lot of my brother's old jumpers. I've got some dungarees.
I'm not sure that counts.
Is this a good thing?
Yeah, this is good because this episode I actually had two new guests come and join me.
Ooh.
One of which was our menswear fashion editor, Luke, and our deputy style editor, Letty, and we chatted about Men's Fashion Week and why menswear is taking over.
Oh, so what you're saying is keep wearing my brother's jumpers?
Totally. Not quite the vibe I was going for. But anyway, who have you been talking to?
Well, I'm going to give you three clues. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Number one, they're a duo. Number two, they're always late.
Right.
And the final clue is that they've got mad musical skills.
Okay, well, that just sounds like us. It's us.
Yeah, it's us.
Did you interview us?
Yeah. Do you remember it? Did you have fun?
I don't know how that happened because I wasn't there.
You weren't there because, drum roll, the Rizzle Kicks were there. Our special guest is the Rizzle Kicks.
Great. I can't wait to hear. Were they fun?
They were really fun.
Okay, well, we also confused everyone this episode with our love-related question, which was, what is the dating phenomenon benching?
Yeah, that is, it's quite confusing.
I know, we're learning so many new words.
Yeah.
Ghosting,
the
benching.
Dictionary of dating. And because festival season is in full swing, Georgia Murray stopped by to talk about women-only spaces at music festivals.
Bring it on. Hi, and welcome to ASOS HQ. So this episode, I'm back in the fashion cupboard after our Graduate Fashion Week special, but we're changing things up slightly. We're actually going to be talking about menswear. So shall I introduce my two guests? Hello, Letty and Luke.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
So I'm Letty. I work in the womenswear fashion team.
And I'm Luke, and I am the menswear fashion editor at ASOS.
Okay, great. So although we're surrounded by womenswear clothes, we want to talk about menswear because it's just been, well, it is Men's Fashion Week month at the moment. So should we talk about some shows? Because Luke, you went to London Collections.
I popped in on the weekend.
Okay. And what were your favourite shows? What sort of were the key things that you kind of were loving?
I think, as with every season, Craig Green really stood out. He tends to, I think, generally, on a kind of global menswear scale, he's always picked up as someone to look at now. He started off as a graduate and then kind of gradually got a bit more kind of prominence and now is kind of everyone's go-to London show.
And what's his kind of style? Why is
he so great? Kind of for your kind of general menswear person, it's probably quite kind of fashion forward and full on. So it's kind of very oversized, very sort of quite conceptual, quite sort of Comme des Garçons, which is a very big like Japanese label, quite sort of based in uniform, and but it's still kind of quite British. And he works a lot with textiles, and it's all very kind of handcrafted.
Okay, so he was amazing.
He was amazing. So it's kind of a continuation of what he usually does, but with more kind of colour, which he then kind of washed out to do the same looks in pastel colours, which, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so pastels, that's quite surprising.
Yes, there's quite a lot of pastels. So he did a lot of pastel and this other brand, this British London-based brand called Rottweiler.
Okay,
Did pastels too, but in kind of tracksuit shapes, which felt quite nice.
And what else was cool? Letty, did you see anything that you were really loving?
I really loved Astrid Anderson, mostly for the women's wear in there as well.
Okay, so that's quite a big thing at the moment about the season in general. So there's women's wear within men's wear shows. Do we want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of designers were showing women's wear in their collections for the first time. Casey Hayford, Grace Wells Bonner,
Aggie and Sam, Sibling.
Yeah, so Sibling, it was the sort of debut this season. They're not showing at London Fashion Week anymore. They're showing as part of men's as a joint show. Do you think that's a way that the fashion is kind of going at the moment? Everything's becoming a bit more unified.
Yeah, I think it's happened. We've seen it happen kind of elsewhere. So in Paris, Vêtements are now showing men's and women's together. Burberry have mentioned they're going to do it. Paul Smith said they're going to do it.
Gucci
are doing it now. You've always seen it sort of on a smaller scale. So like Prada, Letty was saying earlier, show their women's wear resort with their men's wear. But that's only, say, you know, a few looks within men's wear. But I think Joni's going to be more equally weighted. I think it was quite surprising in London to see that there was a lot of women's wear within the shows, not just kind of one or two sort of token looks, but a full,
yeah. So it's going a bit more
collection.
That way,
yeah.
And then, do you think women's wear start a trend and then men's wear sort of come together with it?
You see it happen. So if it's not like a very obvious link, there's like the handwriting of women's wear trend often kind of pops up again in men's wear.
And then, is there anything in particular, like trends that have sort of come out within both women's wear and men's wear that you guys are excited about?
I think a really kind of strong trend at London was this kind of, we called it nandrogyny. So it's like dressing like your grandma. And I know women's wear here have done a big focus on kind of mix and match.
Yeah, we've picked up on that for autumn winter 16 as well. And it's kind of like mix and match. Anything goes regardless of like age or era. It's that kind of clash which is really working at the moment.
That's interesting for men's wear and women's wear that you can borrow clothes from your granny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Aggie and Sam did, you know, I think theirs was based on one of their dads got ill when they were younger and so couldn't go back to work, so became like a house husband. And their collection was based on that. So it was like a man reinterpreting women's wear kind of house clothes for themselves. So it was like rubber gloves, but made into kind of more masculine, like an actual sort of fashion piece rather than just a rubber glove. A bit like Queen, Freddie, that video when he's got the hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was in a really beautiful way as well, wasn't it? Not like kind of novelty.
Oh, it didn't feel novelty or kind of fancy dress. It just felt like a very like a genuine, you know, menswear proposition. Like men could wear this, but it's still based on like women's wear ideas even.
And do you think as well within fashion at the moment people are using their collections to sort of make more of a statement? So I think punk's coming back in, and I think at some of the shows designers sort of gave their stance on like Brexit and things like that. Do you think that's something that's happening more at the moment?
I think fashion always, there's always a place for like statement within, but there should be anyway, you know, because clothes are meant to kind of represent a point of view or a state of mind, and if it doesn't do that, I think it's always good to have that to back clothes up, because they can just become, you know, a t-shirt and trousers.
And also I think with London as well, though, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, people aren't afraid to kind of make more of a statement and like put their opinion onto the clothes.
I think people always kind of look to London for that.
Yeah.
So I think in Milan and Paris you tend to get kind of more polished.
Mm.
Not to say that London isn't polished, but more kind of big brand, big business, like the LVMH which is a big corporation, who support shows. But in London, there's a lot more younger designers who kind of support themselves and can make bigger statements without kind of worrying about losing their funding or things like that. So there's a lot of sort of punk was in there. There's a lot about kind of identity and like queerness and gayness and sexuality, which was quite interesting. And a lot about sort of surveillance and sort of being watched and being targeted.
Yeah, like Christopher Kane show especially was really good for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he went back to his childhood in Glasgow, I think, in the 80s and 90s when there was like Catholic Protestant riots and they felt people were targeted by like police or by gangs, and there was a lot of like surveillance prints and target prints.
And how about key pieces? What are the key pieces that sort of come out?
There's a lot of kind of decon denim, which again is like quite good, quite relevant in women's wear as well. And that, again, kind of shows that whole 90s influence, like influences like Margiela and, you know, labels like Vêtements and new CSM graduate Philip Ellis, like picking up on that kind of structure within the clothes as well.
Like there's a lot of almost like kind of old ideas, but refreshed. It's like tracksuits came back in, but in denim or in pastel colours or in Cotwell. I did them in kind of this clear, like latex almost, which probably wouldn't be picked up by people.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Like the very fact that that's what they did is interesting. So it was a tracksuit, but it was redone in something in like a fresh fabric, yeah. Which you wouldn't necessarily, you could do in like, you know, something more appropriate, but...
So all round then, it seems like a bit of a shake-up and menswear, womenswear kind of coming a bit more together. It's all a really interesting time at the moment.
It felt like a kind of a good start to, because menswear can kind of stagnate a bit and feel a bit samey. And it did feel like it kind of shook things up a little bit and hopefully
Great.
Will kick
exciting.
Off a more exciting season.
It is exciting. Well, thanks for all of your comments and tips and trends. That's and all right. We'll look forward to looking at more menswear shows.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Right, so nandrogyny.
Yeah, nandrogyny.
Quite cool.
That's a good word, I think.
Yeah, so if you're not dressing like a boy, you're dressing like your nan.
Yeah, you need to get inspiration from your nan when you get dressed up in the morning.
With what sort of things, though?
Well, like a pleated skirt or some nice old school florals or a pussy bow blouse. Those kind of things.
Great.
I can see you like you're not gonna wear a pussy bow blouse.
I'm probably not. I can't even say it. Pussy bow blouse.
Yeah, it is quite a tongue twister.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, it's that music again.
It's that music. It's your ringtone.
It's not my ringtone.
Should be.
Well, it's that time of the episode where we ask people questions about love.
Yeah, and we went for a bit of a confusing one this week.
Yeah, I think it is quite confusing. So the question this week is, what is benching?
Benching.
Should we see what people thought it was?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Benching. Is it where you lift weights?
Oh, no.
Is it like planking, where you like lie on a bench?
I think I've been benched, but so I've probably been the benchy rather than the bencher.
So have I ever been benched? No, I haven't ever been benched.
Something probably rude. I'm guessing. There's something involving something like strange positions.
No, I've never benched anyone before.
And I'm sure I've been benched without even realising it.
I don't know, something rude. Is it when you go to the... No. Is it at the gym?
I feel like it's when you lay on a bench, but I could be completely wrong.
No idea. I was thinking planking, so I'm going to go you're on your tippy toes and arms and your... I can't go into detail, that's it, you're planking, but it's like, I don't know.
I mean, some really good guesses there.
That was quite funny.
Yeah, not quite right. So, benching...
Okay, you're going to explain to me what benching is.
I'm going to attempt to explain it, but it is kind of confusing. So, we've previously, on this podcast, talked about ghosting.
So yeah, ghosting, which is also quite confusing.
It's also a bit confusing, yeah. Ghosting is you're texting someone or you're dating someone... And you kind of cease and desist. You just stop.
You vanish.
Yeah, no explanation. Benching
right.
is along a kind of similar vein where you stop, but then you may return. So you're effectively leaving someone on the bench, like a player in a game.
So this is a football analogy, really.
Yeah, you're like swapping in your players.
Okay, I think it just sounds awful.
Yeah, it's really mean.
Yeah, I don't like any of these words. Ghosting, benching.
But also the benchy. You shouldn't let yourself be a benchy.
You shouldn't. Or a bencher, or a benchy.
Or a bencher, yeah.
Well, enough of that benching.
Yeah, no more benching.
No, should we hear what happened when you met Rizzle Kicks?
Yes. Hi, Harley. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Rizzle Kicks.
What's going on, Shan?
Hello.
How are you guys?
Wonderful.
What have you done today already?
Turned up to ASOS.
Little bit late.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Harley's
got issues with punctuality recently.
I was quite intimidated by all the cool looking people outside of the building.
It is quite intimidating.
And I didn't want to walk through them. I got a bit tense.
So you were here early, but you just stood outside.
No, I wasn't here early. I was here like
late.
3 minutes late, and then
three became five.
And then I was like, I'm just gonna stand here and have a cigarette and look cool for a minute, and then I plucked up.
What did you have for breakfast?
What did you have for breakfast? You probably thought you were an ASOS model.
Huh?
You probably fit right in. People probably thought you were an ASOS model.
I mean, it has been said, yeah.
No, it hasn't. What did you have for breakfast?
Banana and
Sorry,
some cereal.
I'm actually doing the questions here.
Why did you have cereal? Because you were in a rush? Is it because you woke up late? Carry on.
Is this just a big marketing ploy for your new single?
Yeah.
Do you want to sing it?
I miss my friend's engagement.
Because I'm always late.
That's pretty much
I turned up late for an ASOS podcast because I'm always late. I sleep through my alarm clock because I'm Harley Alexander Soule.
Ask me if I do it again and I would say, okay, I'm always late.
I sleep through my alarm. I turn up late for the studio. I turn up late for interviews, get intimidated by male models.
It wasn't just male models. It was some female models too outside the building.
Who intimidated you the most? Who's intimidated you the most today?
Today? It was just the collective.
My reflection.
Oof. Your reflection? I was looking in a mirror at your reflection and it really confused the hell out of me.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So that single of which you just sang.
Yeah.
Great.
That was the perfect
rendition. Was that kind of general or was there a specific event that triggered that song punctuality or lack of?
I turned up 5 hours late.
Mm. 5 hours?
Yeah. For the studio, yeah.
Oh, come on.
It was
That's
tactical.
Not...
I promise you right now, what happened was...
Go. 5 hours?
Tap into the zen now.
It's true. Listen... Harley works differently to me when we make music, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our speeds clash in the studio because I just want to write something super quick and Harley takes a little longer. He's like a fine wine, yeah? I'm more like WKD, right? So I, after having maybe had a long night...
Sure, yeah, to say the very
Yeah, best. I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll tactically sleep 12 till 5 in the knowledge that not only will I catch up on sleep... Harley will write a banging chorus. What happened on another level? It wasn't just the banging chorus. It was actually about the fact that that was what I was meaning to happen.
Yeah. Harley, you're so nice.
I'm really nice.
Yeah, like your reaction to Jordan being 5 hours late was to just write a sick song. Mine would be to like, I'd be really passive aggressive and maybe...
It's probably because if we were going to make tallies of who's been late for the studio, I wouldn't say I've been late more than Harley. Just confirm that.
Yeah. I don't think I've been...
He sleeps through his alarm a lot.
As we were talking about, but it's a fault with the iPhone, and I think that's absolutely
fine. That when that sound goes off in the morning, my subconscious has just taught itself to just turn it off.
It is a horrible thing.
My conscious being
Maybe you should set it to your single to be your alarm.
Huh?
Maybe you should set your single to be your alarm.
Nah, because I don't want to get any ideas.
Yeah, about being late.
I had my alarm as Nina Simone, My Baby Cares For Me, for like a year and a half, and it was the most pleasant awakening
That's
I could ever have.
It's too nice, though.
I listened to the whole song, and then I was awake, and I was happy. If anyone wants a suggestion for an alarm song...
Oh, really?
Yeah. These people who get alarms that are like horrendous sounds, yeah, like, or that stupid guitar thing on a bloody iPhone that's like, ding digga ding digga digga ding digga ding, and I swear to God, why do you want that to wake you up?
Sometimes you need something aggressive,
No,
though, to be like,
because you just press snooze. Bang, bang. Like, I want to hear that sound. My baby cares for me. I'm like, yo, Nina, sing me awake, babe.
Yeah, it makes sense. I used to wake up to Libertines Up the Bracket.
Oh,
and I used to stand on my bed and just go, I'd go crazy for like 4 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good... You've got a Libertines tattoo, don't you?
I do. Huh, yeah.
Done my research. So, guys, you've been a... You could say that you've had a... I can't pronounce this word.
Yoga retreat.
Hiatus.
Say it again.
Hiatus.
Hiatus. Hiatus. And apart from recording Almost Late, what else have you been doing? Presumably there's a third album in the works.
A lot of yoga.
Who actually?
No. Did a bit of yoga.
I actually planned a yoga session for the 4th of July today. Just so you know.
Really? Yeah. It'll be good for you, man.
I think it will.
Yeah, you're very unstretchy at the moment as well.
So did you take like a gap year to find yourself and do lots of yoga?
You could, figuratively, yeah. We didn't actually go to kind of cheap destinations.
Yeah.
In that part of Asia, but we I mean, that would be great. I'm still into that idea of maybe having a, but no, it was more personal gap year within our own circle.
Yeah, because it seems like you're quite busy. You both did had solo projects.
Yeah.
And
we have actually done stuff for sure.
Yeah, we've not just been straight chilling
acting and making
years.
Music. Yeah, but in terms of Rizzle Kicks, man, it's like it's a tough world, pop and mainstream, and that it's quite. I think with the advance of technology and how people interact with their fans and the culture, it's you have to take a little conscious step back to really like gain perspective, because when you're in it, like it's just
it's
like, yeah, it's just like everyone for themselves, like
So how did you know it's the right time to come back together? Make it sound like you
Harley found me crying by the canal.
Was it a bit like going on a bit of a break from each other as well?
No.
And then you found
Harley found me crying
in
into a Now magazine by the canal, and he goes, "What's wrong?" I was like, "I can't release a third album now. I can't do it."
I think it's because at a time like I'm not trying to diss anyone or anything, but I feel like the mainstream pop market at the moment's quite dull, to say the least. And I think that there's some good tunes coming out, don't get me wrong, but it's all kind of very like serious. And
did you ask why we come back now? Is that
yeah.
Oh, right, sorry.
Why now?
Yeah, it's all just feels very serious and everything's quite samey. And so I feel like it was the right time to come back with a burst of energy from us.
Because like, there's no competition.
Well, it's not like competition. It's just faceless now, isn't it, really? It's
yeah, like, I don't know whose songs are whose anymore.
What about the new album, then? What can you say about it?
Rubbish. Yeah, awful.
Where does it sit in the three?
It doesn't.
Which is your favourite?
It sits between, like, maybe Talisa's last album and probably the next S Club 3 record.
I won't hear bad words said about Talisa.
Really?
Thank you.
Why?
She's feeling really bad for her. She thinks she's had a really hard time.
She probably has had a hard time, not gonna lie.
Quite an unfair.
She was set up.
Yeah, exactly. So cool.
What did you just say, sir?
And then, I can't remember. Oh, how good is your album? Good? Is it gonna be good?
Is it gonna be good?
Is it gonna be good?
I think so.
I reckon it's gonna be our best work.
Yeah.
As Rizzle Kicks.
It's definitely gonna be the thing I think at the moment it might be the thing I'm most proud of if we continue the way we're making the music now.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think it's
what's interesting, what's been interesting coming back into this process is like you get a different perspective of time when you're out of the kind of that world. But now you've got all the intense pressures of things. I think we're feeling as though like in our own heads it's like, oh my God, this album has to be definitive, but we're just gonna make great music. We're not gonna be lazy about it. We're gonna make something that we think is a staple of our current situation.
And then you've got tour in November.
Yeah. November, December tour. Yeah, get it. Check that out online on Twitter or whatever. You can find our tickets.
I like that. Make them do their own work.
Find a ticket.
I can't remember the fit. It's like rizzlekicks.ctickets.com or something, isn't it?
I have no idea.
All right, you ready to play our game?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got to guess who these tweets are by, okay?
Okay.
Number one.
Blushing is amazing if you think about it. Your own body can call your bluff.
Is it one of the Kardashians or Jenners?
Mm-mm.
Is it a singer?
No.
Oh, wow. What it's kind of world are we looking
a
in?
A male actor.
A
British.
Male actor. What was it again?
Blushing is amazing if you think about it. Your own body can call
your bluff. Yeah, I've been quite shallow about this. That is actually a good observation.
Is it
Hiddleston probably, isn't it?
Yes!
It's actually...
I can't believe you got that. That's so good.
Cool.
You just said British actor.
No, I didn't. I said the British actor who made that tweet, Harley. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, I'm really impressed. Well done.
Cheers.
Okay.
He's just very popular at the moment, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
All right, number two.
Fact. We often get guys on dates who order plain but ask us to put extra hot flags in their chicken. # just saying.
I saw that on First Dates, actually.
Saw that on First Dates?
Yeah.
What, that situation?
The trick of how to, like, one guy is like a real wimp in Nando's, but like what he does is he asks the people behind the till to give him an extra hot flag and puts it in his like medium or plain. It's quite funny.
Is it a female English singer?
No.
Male?
You've actually already said it.
Taylor Swift?
No.
Oh no, one of the Jenners?
No.
Kardashian?
No.
I'm just going to read this again. Fact, we often get guys on dates who order plain
guys,
but ask
plural,
us to put extra hot
group,
flags in their chicken.
What? We said it already.
Yeah, you said it.
I said it?
Yeah. It's Nando's.
Oh. Yeah, that's not...
That's not who I was thinking.
I wouldn't think it's that straightforward.
That's a British singer.
That's a trick question.
Why?
That is a trick
because
question.
Because they're talking about their own thing, man. Like, come on.
Well...
Neither of us said Nando's.
That's literally
that was a throw off as well.
Sorry about not getting a really obvious one right.
No, John said Nando's. You saw this happen in Nando's.
No, he said First Dates.
No, First Dates.
I'm sure you said Nando's.
I didn't say Nando's.
Warren?
Shannon, I didn't say Nando's.
Did you hear Nando's?
I think you might have.
I'm 100% sure he didn't say Nando's.
Okay,
let's go
to the next tweet, man.
Let's go to the next tweet.
Let's leave this beef behind.
All right.
I'm teaching my daughter that the sun goes down every night because it's mad at her. Probably going to write a book on parenting at some point.
Who the f*** said that to their kid?
Katie Hopkins.
Probably. Katie Price.
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
Oh, we're being so sexist already. We're just jumping on like... So that's a dad who's done that.
That's a dad,
yeah. See, we should have known that because that's...
Are they English or American? British?
Danny
American.
Dyer.
American.
No,
but he's great on Twitter.
He is great. American.
Kanye West.
No.
I'll teach my son. The son goes down because he's better. Is he? Would we respect him?
He's done some dodgy Johnny things.
Depp, Brendan Fraser,
late.
Johnny Depp.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
Wait. His career has only propelled of late. Deadpool is his best performance of all time. Okay, don't. Let's move on. Yeah. You need to watch Deadpool before you start slating Reynolds.
Yeah. But you already slated his parenting skills.
Yeah,
so
and his previous three films. But other than Deadpool, he's a great. I mean, he's great. Deadpool's brilliant.
All right, I'll go watch.
But I didn't really awful know. Dad, I didn't awful really
dad.
Know what.
But now I know it's Ryan Reynolds. I understand that it's a joke.
All right, this is a series of tweets. It's three.
Kanye West.
My favourite ones. All right.
Does the Queen open her crisp packets with scissors? Does the Queen want to change her display pic on banknotes? Does the Queen wish she was born into a normal family so she can just go raving and link man on Tinder and get HD brows?
Skepta.
No, but you're in the right genre.
Link man, oh, Big Nasty.
No.
Fecky.
Uh-uh.
Is it someone bigger than Storm? No, Stormzy's the biggest, isn't it? Wiley. Who's talking about the Queen?
No, you
like
said
that?
Skepta.
Yeah. JME.
Yeah.
Oh, JME, obviously, because he would have done the banknote thing. Yeah.
He's my favourite person on the whole of Twitter.
Doesn't follow anyone either, man. No. If only I was such a messiah.
Such a babe.
He's a genius. Like, yeah. He actually is a genius, though. Yeah. Big up JME
In all ways. All right.
Sometimes you've got to follow people, though. Yeah. Especially if they nick something.
Kanye only follows Kim.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Quite a big move. Alright, well that's sort of everything,
really. God,
thanks for coming into ASOS.
Our pleasure, thank you for the invite.
What should people do now if they're like gagging for more Rizzle Kicks? Should they watch a new video, go and buy a ticket, follow you on Instagram?
Nah, don't waste your time with that shit.
Boring.
So, yeah, just like watch the video. Well, Rizzle Kicks always late, stick it into YouTube if you like it and buy it on iTunes. And then if you like that, then watch us perform live wherever you live.
Sweet.
Plant a few sunflowers.
Can you sing us out again? That was really nice.
I'm always late. I'm always late.
To ASOS meetings.
So the Rizzle Kicks, they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote a song about being late because they work together. So maybe we should write a song because we work together.
Yeah, we could do. What are you thinking?
Well, I think it needs to have a theme. Like, their theme is being late.
We're not really late, though. We're quite punctual.
So what would our theme be?
I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry. You're quite hungry.
Yeah, I love food. Okay, we could write a song about...
always being hungry.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was actually just thinking, you know that tweet about does the Queen open crisps with the scissors?
Yeah, that's funny.
Really good tweet from Jeremy. That made me quite want some crisps.
I don't think the Queen would open her crisp with scissors because I don't think that she would own a pair of scissors.
I don't think she's a big crisp eater.
No.
Ah, hi, Georgia.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
Good.
All right. So, Georgia, none of us got a Glastonbury ticket.
Absolutely gutted. Aww. Absolutely gutted. But it's festival season, which means that there might be other festivals we can go to.
That's true.
But I thought it'd be quite cool to talk about a space at Glastonbury called the Sisterhood.
Yeah, we've read about that. So is that the first ever women-only space at Glastonbury?
Yeah, exactly. And it was an intersectional space. So it was queer, trans and disability friendly, which is obviously super important. And it was also located in Shangri-La.
Shangri-La, Annie.
Yeah,
is the big.
I actually don't know what this is.
It's like where all the after parties are, the big like club bit.
Okay, so it's a cool place to be.
It's a
very cool place
to be. Right, noted. Okay, thanks, guys.
And yeah, the space had everything, all female everything, from security to DJs to bar staff and obviously lineup. It was part of Shangri-La's theme, Media Hell. So it was designed basically to bring women together to explore marginalised voices and women's voices within media and music.
That's cool. So what kind of stuff went on?
Some really, really like amazing stuff. There was workshops on topics like diversity and intersectionality, and then also practical stuff like how to use DIY tools, which sounds so fun.
I think I can already do that, actually.
Yes, Shan.
Yeah.
Of course you can, Shan.
I'm sick with power tools.
And then Galdem, who are an online magazine run by women of colour and who we've also featured in ASOS magazine, they were there, and so were activist collective Sisters Uncut, spoken word poet Kate Tempest, and then there was music across the weekend as well.
Great. So much fun stuff then. But why did they do it this year?
Well, in a statement by the organisers, they said, we believe that women-only spaces are necessary in a world that is still run by and designed to benefit mainly men. Oppression against women continues in various manifestations around the world today in different cultural contexts. In the UK, the gender pay gap in the workplace, cuts to domestic violence services and sex worker rights are current talking points that highlight this issue. The Sisterhood seeks to provide a secret space for women to connect, to network, to share stories and to have fun. To learn the best way to support each other in our global struggle to end oppression against women and all marginalised people while showcasing the best and boldest female talent in the UK and beyond.
Well, that sounds like a really strong mission statement. What have people been saying about it?
Well, obviously, it was a hot topic on Twitter. One particularly negative article on The Spectator said, we should be reluctant to take this initiative seriously. For what could possibly oppress women at Glastonbury? By creating a zone in which women are sectioned off, it completely undermines what needs to be done to win women more freedom. The Guardian's news story alone got about 2,000-ish comments on it, so you can see it ruffle people's feathers.
Yeah, but surely there's lots of positive comments as well about it.
Yeah, there were think pieces on places like The Guardian and Stylist making cases for the safety of women and the great feeling of being at all-girl nights when there's nothing but good vibes in the air. But I also wanted to find out what a female musician thought, so I spoke to Rebecca from indie duo Slow Club to find out what she had to say.
It sounds really fantastic, and I would definitely love to go. And I love going out and not feeling... A good night to me is when you feel safe and not threatened and able to be yourself. And that's something that is like a young woman you often can't do. And that's not changing anytime soon, I don't think. So the only way to combat it is to provide stuff like that. So we can have the same experience that, like, a group of lads can have.
I like Rebecca from Slow Club.
She's a babe.
Yeah, she sounds great.
So the Sisterhood, it's the first of its kind at Glastonbury, but what about elsewhere?
Well, in Michigan, there's a festival called Electric Forest, which has a female-only space called Her Forest. Then there are the women-only festivals like Lilith Fair, which was a travelling festival with an all-female lineup founded in 1997. And back in Michigan again, there was a festival called Women's Music Festival, which had been going since 1975. That actually had its last year in 2015 due to its outdated rules excluding trans people, which made it super unpopular.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Mm. So what are the other factors being brought up when we talk about these female-only spaces?
Well, the Sisterhood isn't just a space for women to feel safer and more comfortable, but it's a really great place to rep women that wouldn't usually be seen on festival bills.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that they've like edited the Reading and Leeds lineup last year?
No. What was that?
They'd taken out all the male musicians from the lineup poster. So it was only left with like the bands with females in it or the female artists, and it was basically like a blank poster. There were like six on there or something.
Oh my God, so depressing.
Yeah, The Guardian actually analysed 12 major UK festivals and found that 86% of the performers were guys.
That's a lot.
It's so much. With Reading and Leeds and Download being particularly crap with 94% and 96% respectively.
That's even more.
Yeah, it
Boo.
Is.
In Glastonbury's 45-year history, this is really bleak, you can count the female headline acts, band or solo, on one hand. Can you guys guess who any of them are?
Beyonce.
Correct.
Florence and the Machine.
Yes. And the others were Sinead O'Connor, Shakespeare's Sister and Suzanne Vega.
So, yes. Very few and far between.
So the Sisterhood probably had a higher concentration of female acts in that one space than most festivals do over the whole weekend.
Exactly. It sounds like my dream tent, to be honest.
We should headline Glastonbury.
What, us?
Yeah, bring up the numbers.
Okay, yeah, because there's two of us.
Yeah.
And Georgia.
Georgia can
three.
Come. Special guest. It'll be interesting to see, though, if they keep doing it and if other festivals start to do a similar thing, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find out more about the Sisterhood at Join Sisterhood.
Well, thanks, Georgia.
Yeah, that was super informative.
No worries at all. And hopefully see you both at some festivals
this
summer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go. You're going to take me to a festival?
Yeah.
Great.
We can do these four walls live from our chosen festival.
Looking forward to it. Okay, see you next episode.
See you soon, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode.
It does, and we've got a lot of people to thank this episode. So thanks to Luke and Letty, who spoke to us about menswear.
Thank you to Rizzle Kicks for coming in. also to Rebecca from Slow Club. Thanks to our lovely Georgia Murray.
And shall we say thanks to Warren, our producer?
Go on then. Cheers, Warren.
And remember to subscribe on Acast, iTunes or your favourite podcast app.
If you like us, don't forget to rate us and join us next time for more chat from these four walls.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.